This is Andrew Womack, and on our programs this week, we are going to be playing some of the teaching that I did when I was in Heidelberg, South Africa. I was in a little tiny place that only had 7,000 people in the whole town, and there were 1,500 people that came to the meetings. We were under a big tent, and we had some great miracles happen too. And not only did miracles happen during the time that I was there, but we had a lot of people come and give testimony about how the teaching had set them free. We had one couple that has seen over 700 people healed since they got hold of this. They aren't pastors, they were just lay people in the church, but they started teaching on healing, have seen over 700 healed. We've had testimonies of a little baby being raised from the dead, heart attacks being healed, some great things. Maybe we'll even play some of those during these programs. But this is my teaching. It was taped in Heidelberg, South Africa during July of 2009. I believe it'll bless you, so listen and be blessed. So I want to share some truths with you that this is rare. Most people do not have this perspective. I'm going to share real simple truths with you, but it's amazing how people have skipped over these simple truths and have not understood some of the important things, and we've misapplied it. And so I just want to challenge you. I'm going to say some things that will challenge your religious beliefs. If you are religious, I am going to step on some toes, but I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. This is my experience, and it has set me free, and I would recommend it for anyone. So I want to encourage you just to open up your heart and receive this. Let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Really simple passage of Scripture. Let's actually start reading with verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 16 says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." That's probably not one of your favorite verses. You probably don't have that underlined and things written all in the margin out beside that one. That is one powerful verse. And he basically is summarizing what he had said in the chapter 4 and chapter 5. That I've got about an hour and a half's worth of preaching on that verse. That is one of the most powerful verses in the Word of God. And I hadn't got time. I'm not going to take time to preach on that. But let me say this, that you shouldn't know yourself just by the flesh. You shouldn't know other people. Did you know that all prejudice is based on just external things? The color of a person's skin, how they dress, the way they talk, and external things like that. But on the inside, this is what I've learned as I've traveled the world. The Scripture says that God made all of our hearts alike. You know, I may talk with a funny Texas accent. You may talk with a South African accent. We may be different colors and we may do things differently, but I can guarantee you every one of us in here in the heart are children of God. We were created by God. And our hearts are identical. Your spiritual, emotional needs are the exact same. And the sad thing is, most of us don't live that way. We live externally. We're products of our culture. We're trapped in our cultures. But in Christ, you are a totally brand new person. And just like Paul said, I don't know any man after the flesh. I don't even know Christ after the flesh. At one time, he had seen Christ in the flesh, and he could have told you what he looked like, what his hair color was, how tall he was. He could have recognized him, but he says, I don't know him that way anymore. I know him by the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul, who was not close to Jesus while Jesus was on this earth, wrote half of the New Testament and rebuked Peter, one of the main leaders of Jesus' disciples, who was close to Jesus. But see, Peter knew Jesus after the flesh. He knew him in the natural. He probably could have told some stories about Jesus that Paul didn't know. But the difference was, Paul, when he got born again, shut himself up with God for 3 years in the desert. And he studied the Word of God. And he came to know Jesus by the Spirit. Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And he had a greater revelation of who Jesus was than Peter, who spent 3.5 years walking with him and seeing him do all of the miracles. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that. You can know God better than the apostles did. Thank you for that one, sure. That's, Most people think, oh, if I could have been a disciple, if I could have been around when Jesus was on the earth, then I would be strong. The truth is that you have an advantage over the disciples because you don't have to look at the physical body of Jesus that got sleepy and tired and smelly and dirty. And you don't have that to look at to tell you he's just a man. You can close your eyes and see him in the Word of God and picture him in your mind and you can come to know him. We can actually know God better by the Spirit than you could know him in the natural. And all of those things are what Paul is talking about. But also it's true that you know yourself in the natural. But most of us don't know who we are in Christ. If I was to ask you who you are, you'd tell me your name. You'd tell me maybe where you live. You might tell me what you do. And you would start describing, see, things in the natural. And that's how most of us know ourselves. If I had asked you, what do you look like? Most of you would start describing your features. You'd tell me how tall you are. And whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, whether you're overweight or whether you're skinny or whatever. And you'd describe yourself by these external things. But if I was to ask you, what are you like in your born-again spirit? Most Christians can't describe it. Most Christians don't know who they are in Christ. They only know they're external. And yet, these scriptures are Paul saying, I don't know any man after the flesh. I don't judge people based on the way they look, based on what they say, how they talk, based on external things. He only knew people by the Spirit. If we only knew people by the Spirit, it would transform your life. And if you knew yourself by the Spirit, if you knew who you were in Christ, if you knew the power that you had, and that's what I want to try and get across this week. If you could really understand this, your life would be revolutionized. You would be changed in an instant. It would take a lifetime to live it out, but I guarantee you your whole perspective, your whole paradigm, your way of thinking would change instantly if you could see yourself in Christ. And most people do not walk in the Spirit. Instead, they walk in the natural. And so this is what Paul is talking about in verse 16. And then in verse 17, he says, therefore, based on these things that we are going to look at who you are in the Spirit. We don't know any man after the flesh. We are going to find out who you are in the Spirit being. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now again, that's a familiar passage of Scripture, and it's so familiar to some people that they don't know what it says. They just pass over it. I want you to think about this. This scripture says, if you are in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? You believe that Jesus is your Lord. You are born again. How many of you are in Christ? If you didn't raise your hand, we'll give you an opportunity to get in Christ before the night's over. But if you are in Christ, the scripture says, you are a new creature. One translation says, a new species of being that never existed before. And you know, most Christians, when they read the Bible, they don't really think. They don't use their head. They just, I don't know, they read the Bible to kind of fulfill some obligation. And they do it to get a good feeling, but they don't use their brain when they read. You ought to think about this. The Bible says you are a brand new creature. You're a new species that never existed before. What changed about you? What's different? You go look in the mirror. You still look the same. If you were a female before you got born again, you're still a female. If you were a man before you got born again, you're still a man. If you were South African and talked with that funny accent, you still talk that way. What changed? What changed? The Bible says you're a brand new person. You need to think about this. What does it mean? See, a lot of people think, well, it's symbolic. In a symbolic sense, you're now a new person or something. No, this is reality. This is something that is real. What changed? The Bible says if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Some people will try and interpret this as, well, you change your actions. You don't cuss anymore. You don't drink anymore. You don't commit adultery anymore. You don't lie and steal anymore. You become a new person. That's not what that's talking about, because those things don't happen automatically. That's a growth process as you begin to get set free from your old lifestyle. And this says that when you are in Christ, old things are passed away. It didn't say are passing away. It didn't say that you are becoming a new person. It's saying that when you get born again, you are a brand new person. Instantly, the moment you get born again, you become a totally brand new species of being that never existed before. How do you understand that? I was really pondering this, and I was thinking about God. It says all of these things, and yet I'm still discouraged, and I'm still fearful. And I was an introvert when the Lord saved me. I couldn't even talk to a person. I couldn't look you in the face and talk to you. I was so introverted. I was shy, and I was still that way. And I had been born again for a long period of time, and I couldn't see any change. And yet the Bible says I'm a brand new person. And I was praying about this, and this is when the Lord showed me that we are three parts, a spirit, soul, and body. If you want a scripture for that, there's many of them, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul was praying a prayer, and he says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most people have used the term spirit, soul, and body, but they don't have any distinction about what they are. And actually, most Christians use the word spirit and soul interchangeably. I don't know how many of you have ever studied, like in the Greek and stuff. And if you look up in the Thayers or the, not Thayers, what am I thinking of? Strong's Concordance. His definition for the word pneuma, the Greek word pneuma, is that it's the immortal soul. He defines spirit as the immortal soul, and he basically uses those words interchangeably. But the Bible, in many places, and specifically 1 Thessalonians 5:23, says, I pray God would preserve you completely, spirit, soul, and body. He made a distinction between the three.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth Seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith and we have Bible college students and people there praying. And we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place. And I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth Seminars.